So good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm delighted to be here this evening, and I'd like to very much to thank the Foundation for asking me to speak on a subject that is very close to my heart. As you will have seen if you've looked at the biographies, aside from my day job as the chief executive of BMT Group, in December last year I also took up the position of vice chair of Maritime UK. Segueing into Roger's presentation, I also was a member of the expert panel for Maritime 2050, so all comments about that can also be targeted to me, not just Roger. So you know, we'll share that, Roger, tonight. In this new role as the Vice Chair of Maritime UK, I have to say I have learnt a huge amount more about the broader activities of the maritime sector as a whole. And I have to say I am really excited by what I see. For a sector who collectively contribute $40 billion to the UK economy and employ in the order of 1 million people, and with 95% of the UK's trade conducted by sea, I believe we are a sector whose contribution has not been well understood, and I see this as a huge opportunity. I'm especially pleased that the UK is taking a leading role in maritime science, technology and innovation. This leadership is in many ways encapsulated in the UK government's Maritime 2050 report, which, as Roger says, was launched in January this year. I encourage you all to engage with the report, which charts the UK's course to maritime growth. It has a necessary and major focus on how we will achieve and sustain competitive advantage through the smart exploitation of technology, human capital, and most importantly, how we accelerate our progress and improve our chances of success through partnerships between industry and between government and industry. As an island nation with a long seafaring tradition, Britain has a rich maritime heritage, with particularly impressive achievements in technology and innovation, such as the first ironclad warships, steamships, hovercraft, and hydrofoils. And on the topic of innovation, this is often conflated with technology, but of course it is much, much broader than that. For example, the UK has an excellent reputation in the development of safe maritime operations. Our historic and ongoing influence is evident in maritime regulation around the world today, such as the load line to indicate the safe loading level for ships, created by the British MP Samuel Plimsoll in the mid-19th century, and our model for the Marine Accident Investigation Branch, which was established during the 1980s and has been adopted in many other countries since. Additionally, our approach to the optimal employment and training of people at sea is evident across the world, a notable example being the way that the Royal Navy, their command and control and branch structures and training techniques can be observed in many other navies around the world. The maritime sector is then, and has always been, international by design. As such, we are influenced by geopolitical events and trends, and we have historically anticipated and responded well to these with our approach to commerce and to business models. However, it is fair to say that the rate of change is increasing exponentially, and we must anticipate and respond accordingly. Drawing these threads together and bringing them up to date, today we are seeing the impact of dynamic and rapidly changing trade policies through interventions such as Brexit, couldn't get away without mentioning it, America First, Chinese Belt and Road. This environment drives uncertainty for sure, but that is not a place that we can afford to dwell in. We have to respond and we have to adapt through improved investment, innovation and, more importantly, collaboration. This can only be truly enabled by business leaders adapting mindsets towards more flexible, agile business models in consort with governmental and other stakeholders. To highlight this, in its report, The Ocean Economy in 2030, the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, predict that the maritime industry is poised to undergo a profound transition. The OECD estimates that the ocean industries can double their contribution to global value creation by 2030. They, like many analysts and commentators, anticipate that the future will see an increased demand for shipping, shipbuilding, marine equipment and related services. So the opportunity is both exciting and compelling. However, the investment needed into advanced technology, its adoption and integration, coupled to a forward-leaning approach to how we best employ our workforces and to flexible collaborative business models, will be essential in order to take full advantage of this compelling future and not be subjected to strategic shocks from non-traditional players. I've highlighted already that the maritime sector faces a period of profound change. We should expect to see new geopolitical imperatives feel the impact of potentially disruptive advanced technologies, respond to the changing nature of trade and trade relationships between nations, plan for demographic and social changes, and develop new business models accordingly. This future is sometimes referred to as the fourth industrial revolution, and in many ways, I believe the maritime sector is ill-prepared for the disruption that is unfolding before us. Let's speculate for a moment on what that future world might look like. We will see smart ships exploiting advanced navigation and communications technologies with onboard sensors and intelligent systems, using lightly manned, semi-autonomous and in time fully autonomous capabilities. They will operate seamlessly with digital interconnected ports, which use digitally tagged containers, autonomous trucks and remotely operated cranes to drive up efficiency and productivity. Logistics and asset data from many disparate sources is handled using technologies such as blockchain to quickly, securely and accurately connect owners, operators, hauliers, traders, insurance, supply chains and consumers with real-time information about their products or assets. Fully realised, these technologies will create an innovative, connected trading ecosystem, transforming our maritime sector from where it is today. For example, greatly enhanced speed and productivity of shipping and port operations could credibly drive a change to the types and volumes of goods and services which are currently traded by sea today. Whilst the adoption of technology-enabled security enhancements will greatly influence customer and supply chain choice as to where trade takes place in the future, in a world where cybersecurity and piracy threats may also establish disrupt the traditional trade routes and practices. I'm sure that for many of you in the audience, you can probably envisage this future, she says. But if anyone thinks it sounds infeasible, many of the things I have just mentioned are already in trial or happening right now. Advanced technology will certainly transform maritime operations, and instead of using technology just to drive cost efficiencies, which is often a euphemism for reducing the number of people employed, there is actually an opportunity here to gain a strategic edge through the well-considered integration of people and technology, taking people out of the loop where safety and drudgery can be overcome by technology, and instead delivering role augmentation and human system partnerships so that we can enhance performance and productivity. This will need a highly trained, motivated and committed workforce, or we simply will not achieve the competitive edge we seek. In the war for talent, we must therefore up the image of this sector so that we literally do not miss the boat. Looking in more detail at Maritime 2050, it contains a huge number. Roger was talking about the number of pages and the number of recommendations. There's a lot of recommendations in there. Take this as the opportunity it is to take advantage of the changes it recommends and to be recognised as a leading innovator in maritime science and technology. The government estimates that the value of the global ocean economy will be $3 trillion by 2030. Much of this growth will come from the exploitation of the maritime environment in new and exciting ways, such as advanced aquaculture and seabed mining. Maritime 2050 commits the UK to charting its own seabed and then going beyond. On its own, you might wonder why charting the seabed is a remotely attractive thing to do. But it is the opportunity that we generate from the knowledge we capture and what that can unlock that is important. Ed will talk more about this, I am absolutely sure, but I believe that this uncharted frontier offers great potential for British industry to differentiate and will necessitate ever closer collaboration and knowledge sharing between industry, government and academia. On autonomy and digitisation, the UK is already a leader in design and manufacture of small-scale autonomous vehicles and autonomous command and control, with particular specialism clustered around the south coast. Through Maritime 2050, government and industry will deliver flagship projects to develop technological proofs of concept and provide demonstration of use cases for smart shipping. We're also leading the debate on maritime autonomy. Maritime 2050 recommends the establishment of a new proactive and adaptive international regulatory framework for autonomous vessels. This builds on the work of the Maritime UK Autonomous Systems Regulatory Group, which hosted its international conference earlier this year. Maritime 2050 will also see government and industry working together to achieve the first multimodal autonomous freight movement through a UK port, realising the potential of digitised ports and shipping. This is the reality. On low carbon technology, the IMO has set our sector a massive and progressive challenge to reduce carbon emissions by 50% by 2050. To meet this challenge, ship owners, manufacturers, providers and technologists are going to have to innovate and collaborate. The clean growth focus could offer the opportunity to support collaborative efforts. We will need to innovate in areas such as vessel efficiency, propulsion and energy management, and draw upon the capabilities from other sectors who have already worked on these technologies and new ideas, many of which will come from small to medium enterprises. So how as an enterprise do we deliver against some of what I've just been talking about? For the last few years, a significant level of effort has been expended by industry and academia, supported by government, to establish a maritime research and innovation hub, MARI UK. MARI UK is an open consortium aimed at creating something bigger than the sum of the parts by pooling collective investment in maritime sector innovation. The founding members include BAE, BMT, Babcock, Rolls-Royce, Shell, Kinetic and Lloyd's Register, together with universities of Newcastle, Southampton, Strathclyde and UCL, and the Society of Maritime Industries. The core group have been working to generate a national scale funding and support. We're conscious that until now, if this is news to you, we have not been able to reach out as widely as we would have liked. We wanted to wait until we felt confident of gaining pan-industry, academia and governmental support. After the publication of Maritime 2050, we now have that confidence and we are starting to reach out. We are looking for a range of potential partners in maritime research and innovation to join. We aim to create in Maritime UK both a large enough critical mass and a regional spread that can collectively prioritise resource for the maritime sector to achieve the 2050 vision. Its focus will be on mid-technology readiness and innovations that address the valley of opportunity between discovery and research and commercialisation. It will provide much-needed coordination and collaboration across our diverse industry, but this is not about bricks and mortar. There is no new building, there are no ribbons to cut. MARI UK will be a hybrid, physical and virtual collaboration environment, encompassing a range of centres, many of which already exist, with a small core team in Glasgow to develop a prescriptive research and innovation programme, driven by industry need. It will focus on the key drivers of business growth, safety and environmental regulation and cost reduction. I urge government and industry colleagues to view the creation of MARI UK, the first truly national cross-sector vehicle for collaborative maritime research and innovation, as a key delivery engine for many of the technology recommendations within Maritime 2050. To make this work for all our benefit and to fully realise the benefits, we must build a culture of collaboration within our sector, one that does not necessarily have a long tradition of doing so. So that requires change. We have made real progress, but there is so much more to do. In conclusion, Maritime 2050 is a plan with a real cross-government buy-in. I have set out my views on the possible futures for the marine and maritime industries based upon innovation, the adoption and integration or otherwise of emergent advanced technologies, and how they, alongside future workforce dynamics and other sociological and geopolitical trends, could shape our maritime future. I have summarised the industrial response to Maritime 2050, Marry UK and urge greater collaboration and cooperation across our sector. In close, I'll quote Darwin shamelessly and say, it is not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent. It is the one that is the most adaptable to change. Ladies and gentlemen, the future is incredibly exciting. The potential, opportunities and rewards are vast, but we must change where we need to. We must collaborate more. And that way, we won't just survive, we will thrive. Thank you very much.